Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP and Caldwell. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Folks, I'll tell you what, this is a big, big day for us. We are celebrating our very first IP advisor. And I'll tell you what, Dan has a story. Dan is one of the few who said yes, jumped in. We are building this founders group as we speak. But Dan has a story about his IP being stolen. And Dan, I think people will resonate. I think that through your story, there's probably, I'm going to stop you a few times when you tell your story, because I think there's some points that we could say, ooh, here's what maybe you could have done, or here's what somebody listening could do to kind of create a layer of protection. But first of all, let's start out. Why did you jump in and choose to be a instant IP advisor, where you can not only protect your own IP, but you've nailed it. You said your company is an IP company. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, well, hi. Thanks for having me on, Carrie. What I like to tell people is that I'm an accidental accountant. So grew up maybe similar to you, just with the entrepreneurial spirit and the business school. And into my freshman year, somehow I landed a job at UPS as a finance supervisor. To this day, I don't know why I hadn't even taken a finance class yet. But here I was all of a sudden managing a team of 20 folks. And that sort of led to this series of events where switch to accounting, also because I thought it was the most masochistic of the business degrees. So another snapshot into my personality. If it's hard, I gravitate towards it a bit.
By the way, your book's amazing, because I learned a little bit about you from your book. But yeah, you are one of these guys who, man after my own heart, not afraid of challenge, make it up, risk. But you're an account. What? I mean, how does that reconcile, man?
Well, there's a lot of internal conflict about it, because I don't think of myself as an accountant or CPA, or at least the traditional stereotypes. And so I'm always, I often introduce myself as an unconventional accountant, which is a bit of a contradiction of sorts.
That's right.
But ultimately, I realized 15 years ago there was an opportunity to do something different in the CPA space, lead more with strategy, tax planning. At the time, in the small business community, I don't really know of any other firm that was leading with tax strategy and sort of what's now called CFO services. And so I saw a market opportunity, and that was kind of marrying the skills I had with the desire to be an entrepreneur. And through that process, I had to unlearn a lot of what I thought I knew about business. Got all the good grades, have a cool resume, was miserable most of the time at those jobs because I was meant to be self-employed.
Sure.
But I had to unlearn a lot of stuff. And in that process, created a bunch of IP. That sort of gets to the why am I here and why am I so excited about what you're doing with Instant IP, and why I jumped at becoming a
certified advisor, man.
Certified advisor. So about 5 years ago, I partnered with a guy whose focus was on the marketing side of things, and really allowed me just to show up and be an expert. And over a couple of years, kind of systematically documented a lot of the stuff that was rattling around in my head that to a large degree became my book, Rigging the Game. Although that's probably 40% of it. There's another 60% that is sort of not fully packaged up and out there in the world. And so over the next couple of years, we launched a certification program. I was building an app that's out there called the Certainty app. And along the way, he decided to create a couple separate businesses that utilized my intellectual property. And a lot of people thought I was involved. They thought I was part of those businesses. But for a variety of reasons, I kept a more than arm's length distance. I would show up to do some trainings and things, but because I was not following what he was doing on YouTube or all this other stuff, I didn't realize the extent of it.
Sure.
Until I started going to a couple of different events, and people were coming up to me, one person in particular, which was a really visceral moment. And they said, "Damn, what is it like to basically work with Warren Buffett?" I'm like, well, this guy, I'm leaving his name out. He's like, they're an expert in financial markets. And I'm like, now hold on. He doesn't have any background in financial markets. That's my entire career. I helped write a derivatives and hedging accounting standard. The first part of my career was in capital markets. He moved into my office to kind of run the marketing stuff. And now all this stuff that you're hearing that where you're calling him the like a Warren Buffett, like that's my, I'm not saying I'm Warren Buffett by any means.
Right.
I'm definitely not, but that's all my stuff.
Wow.
And there was a competitor business that was going on. And again, I was a bit unaware of, I saw him bringing in sales to the business we were running together, but the sort of net impact of that is that I had a huge drop in my self-confidence.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, spent a good period of time stuck in grievance. A lot of shame as well, because it's like it happened right out of my own office.
Wow.
And I think of myself as this, you know, this expert in hedging downside risk. And here I let like the fox into the hen house. And so there's a lot of shame that I had around it. A lot of self-flagellation.
I should have seen the signs. I should have, you know, trusted my gut or seen. Yeah, I totally get that.
So I was quiet for a while, pretty reluctant to share stuff. Who are my real friends? Who are my adversaries? You know, when we parted ways, there was a choosing of sides. And as a recovering people pleaser, that was like bringing up all of this. I'm try not to get emotional just talking about it, but bringing up all this stuff that I thought I had grown past, Carrie. Mm-hmm. Like, I've done a lot of personal coaching, therapy, wow. I mean, 15 plus. It's like, I thought I got past all the absolutely. Childhood loneliness and not knowing how to fit into groups and, you know, all this. It's like, I thought I was past all that and built up all my self-confidence. It was like, I was reliving this period of self-doubt that I had during my childhood. And
but I'll tell you what, before you go on, this is, I just want to tell everybody listening, this is normal. A friend who was on our kickoff call the other day, Steve Distante, wrote a book called Entrepreneur Land with a fable. And the one of the main fables in the book is a guy like you who trusted a friend, and the friend was stealing pockets of gold at the cash register. And the guy was back in the back creating all the good stuff that you were creating. And then when he found out, he went through all the shame. And that this story will knock out a lot of entrepreneurs like out of the game. Don't you think, Dan? Like the fact that you've recovered, the fact that you found your guts again, you found your confidence, you're in it to win it. That's rare.
I mean, if I would be lying if I told everyone that I didn't think about selling all my businesses, if I didn't daydream about
not dealing with people,
fantasizing about the days when I used to bag groceries as a 16-year-old. It's like, oh, that was so great.
Simple. Simple.
And I fortunately have a supportive spouse who stuck with me through a lot of self-pity and wallowing. Wow. And fortunately, I found a great new therapist who sometimes I have to hear things four or five times for it to really make sense. But he kept telling me, he's like, you're, and I didn't really understand the nuance for a while. It's like, there, you need to move from being stuck in grievance to grieving.
Yeah. Ooh, that's good.
What is that?
So instead of being stuck in a place, you're now in a process.
Yeah, grievance, as he's told me numerous times, is it's incredibly addicting. Because you just get to create all these narratives about how people have wronged you, and you get to fantasize about how you're going to get retribution, and you can just get stuck in this. And the thing about creating all these narratives is that they all get to be true because they exist inside your head, and you can find a mountains of evidence to support it. But it may, and it's real because it's within you, but it may not actually be real. And that's just this ongoing grievance. And as a society, we're addicted to grievance. I mean, I'm not going to get into politics specifically, but when I mention politics and grievances and being addicted to it, I think many of us could, we're just, there's a grievances both ways and narratives both ways. So I'll leave it at that. Grieving is moving into this space of actually like, what are the feelings?
Wow.
The sadness, the loneliness. And it's way easier to just have grievances and just be mad,
sure,
and create narratives. So it wasn't until I opened the door enough to feel the feelings that I didn't want to feel,
sure,
that allowed me to start to rebuild confidence. In January of this year, so we're recording this in April, had an offsite with my team, and I've been running kind of CPA firm and then separately other businesses. And I came to them and I said, look, we need to become an IP business.
You gotta hear this, folks. Say again, you told your team in offsite, we are going to become an IP company.
Yeah. So are you guys on board, or am I doing all this separate from you guys? And ultimately we're going to just like sell off the CPA business. Because the writing to me is on the wall, and I hadn't even learned about you and what you were doing yet. So it's
that's crazy.
You move past just being stuck in your head and being mad at everyone, then the door is open to learning. That's another thing my therapist said to me: go to school on my tuition, everyone.
Say again, go to school on my tuition.
I already paid the price. You don't need to pay the price of tuition. You can just go to school on what I learned, which is
that's cool.
And I've had to learn it repeatedly, is when you get stuck in the grievance or anger, or in my case, the shame, is you stop learning and you just completely arrest the process of learning. Mm. And so I had 18 months where I thought I was learning, because I was still listening to audiobooks and I was still, but I wasn't really.
You were in pain. You were stuck. It was the shame. It was the blame game.
100%. So it's not surprising. Other people might call it manifesting, but it's not surprising to me that when I moved out of that, I actually started learning, that I discovered what you were up to, and the timing and overlap of everything just makes sense. I was more open to actually having conversations and trying to progress things forward. But we need to become an IP company. Writing's on the wall. There's mass consolidation in the CPA space. Mm. Private equity's gotten in. They're gobbling up smaller firms.
Wow.
AI, I don't need to explain to
you
what's going on there. And so now is the time, and we have all this stuff that's been sitting on the sidelines. Let's become what I was describing at the time, the Franklin Covey of financial certainty. So my thing is giving people financial certainty. Let's help you live your life on your terms, fund what you want on your timeline with less risk and less effort. And so we need to be more than just doing things for them. We need to teach and guide. Mm. And to do that, we have to share our intellectual property. And to do that, we have to protect it.
Yes.
Because I can't go through that a second time. I can't go through that a second time. knowing what I know.
So I love this. You're hitting a lot of common things that people feel, that crud, I've been burned because I shared my secrets. I wanted to impact the world, but they stole from me. And I mean, that shuts down, you know, first of all, I'd say the majority aren't even thinking that way as a contributor. Secondly, the people who do and then get burned, they're done. The fact that you've persevered is huge. So now you're all of a sudden, your eyes are open. You're like, hey, we need to become an IP company. So then you saying yes to become an instant IP advisor, you now can get certified to speak, coach, train, help people harvest their IP, name their IP, protect their IP, package it, get it out in the world. Essentially, all businesses on planet Earth, 90% of the value of their company is in their IP. I know that's super hard for a lot of people to realize, but don't trust me. Look at just Google the S&P 500. Look at the proof. But why, Dan, did you say yes? I mean, you could have just said, I'll protect my own stuff. But why did you also say, I want to get certified to help others?
There's a few truths that I believe deeply. One, I believe that the biggest risk in life is not living the life that you want.
Mm.
And so every action should get you closer to what you want. Your business, your investments all exist to serve you in living the life that you want. That's the sort of at the top of, and what my business does is help people live the life that they want. Yeah, we do accounting stuff. We do, but it's how do we help you live the life that you want? So I mentioned that because the second truth is I believe that the biggest risk that small business owners face right now is that they do not have control over their intellectual property.
Wow.
And if, as you established, the 90%+ of the valuation of a business comes back to their IP. And if you don't control it, you're leaving money on the table in terms of valuation. But you have all these leaky buckets in your business where your staff can take this intellectual property with them. Your clients, your competitors can take this intellectual property. And then lastly, AI is taking this intellectual property.
Right.
And if you have a belief that long-term AI is going to replace a lot of what you're doing, then that is a call, a siren's call right now.
Oh, yeah.
To protect that intellectual property. Otherwise, what is your business 2 years from now, 3 years from now? So I think I think I have a fiduciary responsibility to my clients in general, but specifically here in that sort of charter to our clients, that if we've identified this biggest risk, then we better tell them about it. And then if we're teaching, guiding, and implementing, we need to teach, guide, and implement, help them implement protecting that intellectual property.
I don't know if my eyes have been open the last 30 days, but I've seen us go from about here, mass adoption as a society of AI, to here. Like, we've literally moved in 30 days. I've never seen, and maybe it's because my eyes are open more, but it can be as simple as the little trend for, oh my gosh, I'm going to turn my picture into a action figure. And then it's going to be in a blister box that breaks out. Like, all it takes is people to go from AI's the enemy to AI's interesting to how's everyone doing that, to then playing in the AI space. And it's like this exponential effect where one company builds this AI thing, they leverage it and build something. And we're in this scaling phenomenon right now. And I think the race is on our kickoff event. I showed that little search box, LibGen, where I can see how many people have stolen our IP, and five of my own books were taken.
Yeah, same. I used that same link and saw that my book was taken as well. Wow. Sorry, one second. I got my kids.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Kids on spring break and they're tapping on the window.
Hey, go for it. No problem, my friend.
What?
Yeah, so basically, I think we're in the race is on, and people are either going to miss it. And if anyone says, I don't have any IP, they need to read the book, You're an IP Company, because what they don't realize is the whole reason businesses can be different, is because of differentiation. And differentiation is what makes any company different from the others. And if there is no differentiation, you have no competitive advantage. So the whole reason you have an existence is because of IP. You just maybe haven't named it. You maybe haven't packaged it, protected it. But Dan, what do you hope happens? You know, you're one of our, you are our first advisor, more coming. But what do you hope happens? A year from now, you and I chat again. We're going to chat much more than that. But what do you hope you personally do for your company and then for other clients in a year's time?
Well, using the Instant IP system, I ran through VCIPO, and I told you about this.
Yes.
Virtual Chief Intellectual Property Officer. And I jumped on that because I kicked myself for not doing that on the CFO side years ago. We had an opportunity to really own that space 15 years ago and just could have been taken a few more actions than I want to do now. So I see a huge opportunity to bring to market this virtual or outsource chief intellectual property officer to our clients.
That's cool.
So next week we have our next offsite, and I've got a day, our quarterly offsite, a day set aside with our COO to may end up being a couple of days to really process out what our offer systems will be to bring that to market. So we're going to move fast and in the next 2 to 4 weeks be bringing this to our clients. I've already had some initial conversations.
Yeah.
So we'll have a page here on our website soon, and we'll be reaching out to all of our clients.
Totally.
What I'm going to talk to you about doing a webinar or something for our clients to really talk about the protecting our intellectual property and every conversation I've had over the last week since I signed up for the program around this, the reaction has been, wow, when can we get started? Because I had my head in the sand a bit, including as an example, a client who's got a very successful business in the home services space. So it's a tangible product. They're going out to your house and there's a log home repair maintenance. And he was going, I thought I had more time. Like how is AI going to take over the business? And I just start going through all these practical examples.
Oh yeah.
And one, I think, prompt to know if you have IP is, have you ever had an employee leave and go to another client and now you know that they're following some of your systems and processes?
Wow.
Yes. I think every business owner can say this. They've had someone leave. If you've had any success in business at all, you've had someone leave, start their own business, go to a competitor, and you know that they're using some of your secret sauce. I think it's a compliment. I love when my employees decide to become an entrepreneur. Like that delights me. And at the same point, it's like, just don't take my stuff.
That's right. You don't want to have paid for someone to be your competitor.
Exactly. Yep. So there were countless examples of that we could come up with of systems and processes that competitors are now using, or branding messages, talking points that can be protected. You get into all the other AI stuff, and there's so many examples of things that creating a, there's like a secret sauce to how you run your sales process. Well, you can use AI to listen in on your sales calls and give you feedback on where you deviated from the process or where your team deviated from the process. So, but you want to protect that process and not just feed it into AI that now owns it. So how are you creating that data lake and keeping the
information
protected? So there's a lot of sort of documenting in your 12-step process around IP. And then how does that fit into another thing we do for clients called cash flow engineering, which is finding those expenses and turning them into assets.
So good. Well, listen, Dan, this was fantastic. I want to make sure you and I have 2 minutes at the end to talk about some cool stuff here. But nthdegreecpas.com, nthdegreecpas.com. As I mentioned, Dan is our very first advisor, Instant IP Advisor. It's a four-year dream of mine. Our team spent a ton of time and money creating this capability because we believe that the intellectual property world is in right now a massive disruption. Innovation is exploding. USPTO is backlogged. Patents, trademarks, copyrights take way too much time and friction. I mean, so much time that like the new iterations already happening before you can even protect it. And so the key is to go from idea to protection, literally with one click. I saw Dan in our channel. I didn't see what he was protecting, but I knew he was very active yesterday, naming it, protecting it, packaging it. And now, boom, his confidence is up and he can go out and monetize it now. And so, Dan, thanks for being here today. Your book's fantastic. We appreciate all you're doing and we're going to hear a lot from you.
Thanks, Carrie. It's an honor to be part of the program. And I think it's a huge service that you're doing to the business community by bringing Instant IP to the market, but also creating this army of other certified advisors who are going to help these business owners protect their biggest risks right now.
I love it. Folks, if you're interested, go to instantipcertification.com, instantipcertification.com. You can apply there. Thanks so much, Dan. We'll see you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company Podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today and caldwelllaw.com for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.